This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Tyler Miller, you are the greatest producer in the world.
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Ah, it is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old Luke is in as Clint is out today. And also me, the show is in with you. And also Psycho T, a.k.a. T-Mill, and we have the latest. The latest is, it is 5 o'clock fire. I do want to get to the Rockets, but we haven't talked about this, I don't believe, very much since it first came out, but I just saw this come across the screen, that the NFL is now investigating the Justin Tucker situation, the kicker from the Ravens. Another, I think it's up to 16 women have come out against him. This is wild. It's wild, but it is not getting anywhere near what Deshaun got. Do you think, or is it just that we're close and we were close here and dealing with it every day? I don't feel like I thought Deshaun stuff was leading. I felt like SportsCenter often. Like, I didn't, it is. Because, like, I'm not going to go into depth, and I don't know all the ins and outs of the case. But I know three of the 16 women are making allegations spoke. So you'll have to deal, obviously, with that. But I don't get the sense that this is in anywhere near as big as the Deshaun situation, and it is very, very comparable to the Deshaun situation.
I agree. It feels different in terms of the coverage. And I think part of it, and it's not right or wrong, but I think part of it's just like, you know, this big-time quarterback compared to a kicker towards the end of his career. But it should be covered the same, because it shouldn't be about the football side. It's about, you know, these terrible allegations and the things that these people supposedly did away from the sport. So it should be covered the same. But I think you're right that Tucker has not gotten the same heat or the same coverage that Deshaun did at the time.
No, yeah, the Texans were forced to have to deal with it and deal stuff with it. I'm not saying the Ravens haven't, but it's not anywhere near the level. But that is a story that, I mean, we're going to keep an eye on, and it is like I said, very comparable to the Deshaun thing, and much like Deshaun, this sucker don't seem to be slowing down at all.
Yeah,
like it seems to be more and more coming out.
I also think part of it too is that the first time this story, type of story, broke, which was Deshaun, it was really shocking. And then some of that shock maybe wears off a little bit. Now you hear about Justin Tucker, and it's not as big of a story because, like, oh, yeah, like we kind of just went through this. Yeah. It's not as big of a surprise as, at least the way I remember when the Deshaun story came, I was like, whoa, like this is, no one saw that coming. And with Tucker, I'll also say, you go back and you can find people on Twitter going back like 4 years ago making references to this. So I guess this was something that was kind of known in some circles.
Not blown up to
where it absolutely
got,
not.
Someone texting quarterback versus kicker. And I'm not going to say that's not fair. Would you say Justin Tucker's the most known kicker?
100%.
Hall of Fame.
Considered the GOAT by many.
Active Hall of Fame kicker. Like
stupid ass
Longhorn. And then when you think about all of the allegations, a big thing, like, yeah, I'm a bit surprised. I understand the quarterback thing. I'm a bit surprised it's not not getting handled this way.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, the Rockets, they are back in action, and they'll be back home. They're hosting the Minnesota Timberwolves, and this is a big game. They've got 27 of them left. 18 of their final 27 are against teams that are currently in the play-in or playoff, and not to mention the Suns, who they have a couple of games with that are just outside of it. But the T-Wolves are 2.5 games back behind them, and they've been surging a bit here heading into the break, and obviously the Rockets have gone the other way. What are you looking for, Lou? Because I know you cover this thing and follow this thing. What are you looking for in the second half? Is this team more the team we've seen throughout the year, or is this slippage more than slippage?
It's a good question. I think the slippage is just a bad stretch. And now you had some time off at the All-Star break where you could regroup, guys could get healthier, even just mentally. You take a step back, you relax, you recharge, you come back. So I think the Rockets will be okay in the second half of the season. I certainly don't think they were as bad as those last 9 games. I don't know if they're as good as the way the season started either, but somewhere in between is still pretty good as well. When you look at the success the Rockets were having, it's with that starting five we were talking about earlier that you should be able to run out tonight. So I think a big issue is just injuries and maybe worn down a little bit, needed some extended rest. So I'm still very optimistic for Houston here the rest of the season. I think the Rockets will be okay. They'll right this ship. And I used the line when I was in last week with Clint, but you know, Dennis Green always said how you feel about your record depends on when the wins came and when the losses came. And the Rockets have lost 7 of the last 9. So I get why everyone's down on them, but I still think this is a really good team. And when healthy, I think they'll be fine. So tonight is a big test. But to answer your question, I think they'll be steady the ship here. And I think they'll be much better the second half of the season compared to what they were the last couple weeks.
Big things are, and Tyler and Cheryl will let us know if we're hearing anything about Fred VanVleet. He is a game-time decision. We know Jabari Smith will be back, and to me, that's the biggest thing, right? Yes, the team was struggling, but right before the struggle part, this is a team in which I think maybe this is the best you felt about the Rockets since the Harden years, mm-hmm. because they had just come off of beating Cleveland. Hell, not just Cleveland, Minnesota a couple of times. Memphis a couple of times. They'd beaten the Cavs twice. Beating the Celtics,
yeah.
Amen Thompson, last second shot, and then he started to just shoot up in terms of his comfort and ability on the court. So you were feeling great about this team. I do want to see what this looks like when they get these guys back. How does Amen Thompson change his game or his aggressiveness now that maybe is he in the starting lineup? Is he on the bench? Where does he go? I am really looking out to see how Udoka navigates through having a lot of his guys back.
I know a lot of people said, like, oh, Fred VanVleet, like, that shouldn't be that big of an impact. Who cares?
Well, clearly he has been.
And rightfully so. When you take away the veteran point guard like that, I mean, that's a big loss to take away from your offense and just your floor general. So, and we saw that. The team really suffered without him. So I think that's a huge re-addition with him coming back. And to the rest of the season, what I'm looking for, not only staying healthy, I guess, but still looking for that guy to step up, end of a game, go win a game for you. That's what they need.
Well, that's the biggest thing, is not just at the end of the game, but like the last, like 2-3 minutes of games.
Right.
In this stretch, we've seen. There was the game against the Knicks. There was the road game against Memphis where you could clearly see, even when they came back against the Warriors, you could clearly see those teams all knew where they were going and who was going to get them there and the shots they were going to be taking. And it seemed like the Rockets just quite aren't there and knowing exactly where they want to go. And some of it, Şengün was injured in some of those games. But even later in those games, he was on the floor and they still seemed to struggle. The last, I'd say, two, three minutes of a game to figure out, all right, let's get good possessions, good shots. That's to me a big thing to look at.
Absolutely. I was trying to find it. I have it stored somewhere, a statistic from recently that showed, yeah, just how the Rockets just have been far below average in the league in those clutch minutes. You know, the end of a game, close game, fourth quarter. They just haven't been good enough, and that's what it comes down to in the NBA. So that's, to me, the big question the rest of the season is seeing if they could get that from somebody who's obviously on the roster right now because you can't make any more additions.
Yeah, so I got in the face, Craig.
5 o'clock fire.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And Grady Dick is healthy.
If he's okay.
That injury. He is okay. He is okay, Ryan. All right. Spencer Arrighetti, he gets to start coming up on Sunday. Myers, Zach DiNZenzo will play in the outfield along with Chaz McCormick. They'll play in the outfield on Saturday. So they're kind of getting some things going as they start playing games.
Jordan.
I don't know when we will see Altuve in the outfield. That is the big story. I know the captain, Joe Espada, the man who runs this ship, the captain, Joe Espada, said there'll be some time before he gets in the outfield. But that's where they're going to roll at this point. But Spencer Arrighetti going on Sunday, and he to me, we talked a bit about him earlier. He to me is a huge, huge storyline to watch. What does Spencer Arrighetti do? Does he kind of just have a slow growth to where he is? Does he stay the same? Does the league figure him out and he steps back? Or does he do what we saw from Hunter Brown? Hunter Brown year one, ups and downs, which you understand. Pitched out of the bullpen in the postseason. And then year two, he came back, kind of started off slow. I remember that game they had in Kansas City against the Royals where he gave up like 11 runs in the first inning and didn't make it through. But then after that, he went on a tear and went off. And he was, at times, you could argue, the ace of the staff, right? And it became a big, big part of this staff to where now you're super confident that you got two top-of-the-rotation guys. Does Spencer have that kind of a jump? To me, it's a big deal to see where he goes because he's going to be in the rotation. But what kind of step does he take for next year? Because I think that's critical for the Astros.
I think it sort of goes back to our Texans conversation from earlier when you talk about other young athletes like C.J. Stroud or Will Anderson to see that progression. And what you mentioned there off the top of Arrighetti is the big question where he pitched so well second half of the season, but now teams have an offseason to make adjustments, to figure him out. Hitters watch more tape, so on and so forth. And so they're going to make an adjustment. What is his adjustment going to be this year? Can he take another step forward, like you said, or is it going to be a bit of that sophomore slump? That's the big question. I don't have an answer, but I will put my faith in the Astros pitching development that they've shown time and time again in recent years. They've developed the track record that I can trust them with these pitchers. We saw it a handful of times last year, including Arrighetti. So I anticipate he will take that step forward and certainly needs to. I trust the Astros that they'll get the most out of him.
They've developed, yep.
But that's always the question. You know, the other guys are going to make the adjustments in the league. Can you stay one step ahead of them?
Well, I think it's a good sign to think you will, because Spencer got better as the season went on. There was
I was just about to say that.
Right? You remember the start of the year, it was like, hey, man, did they bring him up too soon? Can he handle this?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he was better than that Henley fella, but it was like, did he do too? But he got better and better and better to where by the end of the year, we were having conversations of, yo, should he be pushing to get one of these starts? Should he? Like, by the end of the year, we said, yeah, you'd be crazy in a playoff game to start Verlander over him. And I never thought we were going to arrive to that part. So, good for him. We'll see what he does. But he's a big part in that three spot, what they get from him.
And hopefully he can get the big man's name right sometime soon.
Jordan.
That's 5 o'clock fire.
That's completely unacceptable. As I look up on the screen, it looks like the Yankees, who won the AL last year, they have started their spring training in Florida, and they started with a bang. And I hope these guys start to get into it. I wonder who was the one who pushed it. Was it Cody Bellinger? Was it Goldschmidt? Who pushed this?
Who's your daddy now?
This is a statement from the Yankees. Their managing general partner, Hal Steinbrenner, who his father George is currently rolling over in his grave, on the alteration of Yankees facial hair policy. This has been one of the most ridiculous things to me in sports that they have allowed to go. For 49 years, the Yankees have enforced that you could not have facial hair. I think you could have a mustache.
Yes.
That's it.
So stupid. You
could not have facial hair. And by the way, and you tell me if I'm wrong, I think this does not include, it's just facial hair, because they got a rule in length of hair. Right, so like if you have long hair, they made Jason Giambi cut his hair.
Yeah.
Oh, and Johnny Damon. Remember?
Johnny Damon. Yeah. That was a damn shame. I've never forgiven Johnny mentally.
His locks were glorious.
For just giving it, I know it was a lot of money. But if you got dreads, you can't play for the Yankees. I think that is still current, unless you cut them. And I feel like Jazz Chisholm might try to buck the system. But this is ridiculous. 49 years they've been allowed to get away with this thing. It is just stupid. Stupid that you couldn't have you couldn't have no goatee. You couldn't have no full beard. You had to cut your... It is so dumb. But thankfully, thank you, that the Yankees decided to get into this time frame. 2025 is when it was lifted.
I think it's soft that the Yankees made this change. Stick to the guns of that's been your rule for 50 years. Is it a stupid rule? Yeah, it is a stupid rule. But this has been the rule for 50 years, and now because of some... You're the New York Yankees, and now because of some pushback, it's like, you know what? We will change the rule. They've been able to get free agents. Guys know what they're getting into. They want to keep their goatee. Go play anywhere else. You don't have to play for the Yankees. I think it's soft. You're right. George Steinbrenner is rolling over his grave.
He's got to be
when he sees his son getting rid of this rule because some people are unhappy outside of the organization.
It's so dumb. Like, whatever. We're going to get some bearded turds now.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like your take, Luke. I'm certain you haven't liked some of mine. I don't like that take. No, they should have done it 25 years ago. They should have never had it. So stupid.
Yeah, welcome to 2025.
Hey, man, we can't let you. All right. I just want to know what pushed them over. What made Hal say, you know what, guys? Let's let him have beer.
It's probably the reward for finally getting to a World Series. You know, it had been quite some time. It's probably like their treat.
So from 2009, they were holding that out. So we had to sit over there and watch CeCe Sabathia just clean shaven.
Idiot ass.
Oh, if I was all them dudes, I'd be hot. Now we can grow them. And they made Paul Goldschmidt shave his off before they instituted this rule.
My guy, Darnell McDonald.
And now he looks like an Italian. All right, coming up.
Hey, that's a good thing right there.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
Get
I'm just
gabagool.
Saying he looks different. He looks Italian now.
Arrighetti should be Italian.
Arrighetti. Arrighetti. By the way, Spencer, if your hair is still the same way as I remember, you cannot play for the New York Yankees. All right. Coming up. The Texans, they have made a decision to their coaching staff. We'll tell you what that is and what that means moving forward. That's next.
Can I say popcorn fart on the radio?
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
Who do you think's a Yankee that at some point said, man, I'm thinking about it, man. F this. Like there's had to have been some guys over the years, and you may know there had to have been some guys over the years who just said, man, I'm gonna push this. I'm gonna grow a goatee, and I don't give a damn. I just cannot believe over 49 years that nobody has tried to just say, man, F you, George. I'm surprised Billy didn't try to.
Yeah, I guess he just wasn't...
Billy Martin, the manager right. who always got into it with George Steinbrenner.
I guess he was just a mustache guy.
He was just a mustache guy.
I guess so. David Wells was one. I mean, he did have a goatee for a period of time. I feel like he did push back.
Did he have a goatee with the Yankees?
I know he had a goatee in general, but that's what I was going to say. I feel like he did have one with the Yankees. I feel like he was the exception.
It's crazy. I know you said it before. I know it's the Yankees, but I am... Somebody just texted in David Wells. I am just blown away, Tyler, by how many people have just gone along with it.
Well, the thing,
like, just have gone.
Yeah, but you, the way I think about it anyway is, like, at the same time, I mean, we've watched for decades now the New York Yankees be willing and acting on spending whatever money to get whoever they want. So, I mean, when you factor that in, like, yeah, I could probably get rid of my beard if you're going to pay me some millions someone else won't.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but then when you get in the house and you got your guaranteed money.
I'll be pissed off.
You know what I mean? Like, I just, like, how did Jason Giambi just sit there one day and be like, man,
what? Yeah. Like this,
man, I'm growing my damn hair out, man.
But that part.
Sitting out here looking like a Poindexter.
I think if you get traded, that really sucks.
Yes.
But if you sign as a free agent, you can't
that's
really complain.
A great point.
Yeah, if you get traded, that's brutal. Nah,
yeah, but you sign as a free agent, you're
you
sitting
can't
there
really
thinking.
Complain.
No, you're sitting there thinking, "Hell, I'm gonna get this cash." But then, man, you about three. Like, I wonder if Derek Jeter, because I believe Derek Jeter could have worn. He could have got braids. He got a. Jeter could have done whatever the hell he wanted to do.
I don't know. Who was like bald before 40, I don't know if he could.
Listen, I'm just saying there was a point there in 98 or so where his hair was flowing.
Get some twists.
Twists won't work long if they're long. He needs them. They got to come down. Like, I wish George would have pulled him off the field if he just said, man, I'm going full beard.
Captain would have put him in a tough spot.
Yeah.
I wish he would have.
That would have been the guy to do it.
Like, he would have. Jorge Posada, I know he wanted more. Mariano Rivera, you go tell him that you ain't closing no more games.
The interesting thing, all these names you mentioned, none of them grew. Like, the real test is once they leave the Yankees, did they finally feel liberated? We're like, all right, now I'm going to grow out a beard. None of them ever had facial hair, even after they retired.
Yeah.
So I guess they were all fine with it.
Yeah, they had a bunch of Tim Duncans over there that was just going to fall in line and just go with it.
Yeah.
How the hell they control Ricky Henderson? Ricky went over there, rest in peace. Ricky just went over and did. But Ricky, I think Ricky was a mustache guy. I think Ricky just did mine.
Yeah, did he ever have anything else throughout his career? He was always, that was always his look. Didn't have the long hair.
No, he did. I got somebody in there. I wish they had somebody in there to push back. Well, I wish they'd have had a David Ortiz or somebody. Somebody that would have pushed back.
He didn't push back, but I always felt bad for my guy Darnell McDonald got picked up by the Yankees. It was a huge thing about, is he going to cut his braids? It was midseason. He got released. Yankees signed him. Anyways, he did cut him off, and the Yankees cut him after like a week.
So he cut his braids? Oh,
yeah,
hell no.
For a week of MLB service.
I would have told him to go to hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have. Because, like, honest to God, I mean, that is a, like, to listen to how they would get around that, that is a lawsuit waiting to happen. How come I can't wear my hair the way I want to wear it? How come I wear my braids? What's your answer going to be?
Those are the rules.
Okay. I would have won that suit. Now, I'd have never played for the Yankees, but I'd have fell down for people coming by me. All right. So the Texans put out a post today on Twitter saying, hey, we're coaching staff is set. And listen, straight up, they have only added two new voices in the room. Obviously, and both of them went to John Carroll, by the way. They've only added two new voices and they promoted. Did Cole Popovich go to John Carroll? I know he was with the Patriots for years, but The only new voices they've added is Nick Cayley. He didn't go. I was about to say.
He went to Cal.
He went to Cal. Okay, he just was at New England with them. Honorary.
I'm honestly kind of relieved to see that.
Are you? Yeah, that makes a difference. But they're only adding two new voices to the room. Nick Cayley and then a new offensive assistant they hired. Those are only two new voices they're adding to the coaching staff of the offense. If I told you at the end of the year when they fired Bobby Slowick and that there would only really be one new voice in the room and that's the OC, I'm not going to say that Jerry doesn't matter, but the only real new voice in the room was the OC. You'd have been all right with that?
No. Wouldn't have been all right with it. Not all right with it now. I would have done the opposite. The only person I would have wanted to keep is Gerard Johnson. Clean house, everyone else. And let the new offensive coordinator bring in his guys, whoever he wants. It's almost like micromanaging. You know, like you brought me in to do my job or to run this offense. Allow me to now run this offense instead of having to work with the holdovers that were here from the previous coach and the previous staff. And having to now gel this together, this first-time play call. They're working with these guys that were already there and, you know, having to try to get all on the same page and make it work in what is such a crucial time for this offense and you know, the upcoming season for this team.
They're all fixable.
You brought up the point that is really hard for me to get around. And that is, I just don't know, like you're an offensive coordinator. You're an offensive coach. And we can see, hey, the dream I would believe for Nick Caley is to eventually be a head coach. And a lot of that comes with, yo, how does your run go as an OC? We just watched Bobby Slowick. There's a lot of OCs who have not put together the two seasons that Bobby Slowick has put together here that are still OCs for teams that have not been fired.
Anybody else's fingers hurt?
The chance of Bobby Slowick becoming a head coach took a significant hit. We'll see if he becomes an OC again. But that means, man, you get into that job, you got to get it right. And you to feel like it, to move on to be the head coach, you got to get this thing right. And to think I'm going to come in to a group that struggled to reach its expectations and really had some awful areas, including the position that's my expertise. And I'm going to walk in, and all I'm going to bring is Jerry with me to be an offensive assistant.
Mm-hmm.
Running back coach going to stay. Everybody going to stay the same. I'm not saying it's not going to work. I'm not saying that Nick doesn't have that. Just that to me is a thing that just kind of raises my eyebrows a bit of, yo, you want to be a head coach. You got to make this stop work. They just fired a dude that you can look at and say, but that was more successful than it wasn't in a 2-year span. And he may never get a chance to be an OC again, let alone a head coach. You going to come in here and basically David Culley this thing. And I'm not saying he's David Culley, but I'm saying it's David Culley came in with a coaching staff.
Football playing Jesse.
That he didn't bring anybody in from. It's just that part of it is odd.
Yeah, it's tough to make that work. And I said this earlier, but that was as Belichick's career went on, that's what he really struggled with. I think that's part of what led to the downfall was he never expanded beyond his close circle of assistant coaches. That's why Matt Patricia's calling the offense 1 year, which was a joke. And when I look at the Texans, you know, McDaniels comes in with Caserio, who had worked with his brother. And now, for just to use him as an example, he has survived 3 head coaches and 4 offensive coordinators. And I think you could question, like, have we seen enough development from wide receivers in recent years? So I just, half the staff are Patriots guys and John Carroll guys. There's just that fear of, you know, getting outside of that circle and making some of those tough moves.
All right. We'll get you ready for the big one tonight is they're on ESPN, national TV game tonight for the Rockets. We'll get you ready for that. And T-Mill's going to make a little cash for you. That's
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up next.
Not only do I stop by Sports Radio 610 in Houston, Tyler, shout out.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Hey, remember, new episode of The Big Orange Wagon is out, and it is out now. Check out our guy. You hear him producing The Drive, our executive producer every day, Tyler Milner. Him and Patrick Creighton, who you hear after us every night with Area 45. They try to ease that anxiety that Astro fans might be having about Altuve's move to the outfield. So, stay tuned for that. You can catch that anywhere where you get your podcasts. Also, remember behind us, we will have Texas All Access. And then you'll hear Area 45 after that. They'll talk about, on Texas All Access, they'll talk about the coaching staff being set. And we'll hear their thoughts. You'll hear their thoughts on that coming up right behind us. Team Miller will make you some money here in a bit. So stay tuned for that. All right, Rockets, they get it going tonight. They got a national TV game. They play the T-Wolves on ESPN. That'll be a fun one to watch. They're already doing a pregame for it. And this, I think, will happen a lot more. The Rockets will be in a space in which we'll see them more on TV.
Let's go, Rockets.
The exciting young teams to watch. And they're going up against a really exciting young, great player in Anthony Edwards. Again, I said this again earlier. What to you should be the starting lineup tonight?
So for me, I would go Fred VanVleet. And of course, obviously, the disclaimer: this is assuming these guys are all healthy and playing. VanVleet, Sengun, Jalen Green, Jabari Smith, and Dylan Brooks with Thompson coming off the bench. That's what I would do, and my simple explanation, it might not be the best answer, but just because those are five guys that have started all year long when they've played, where Thompson spent half the season coming off the bench. And when they were playing, when the Rockets were playing at their best, you had those five guys in the lineup. So I wouldn't shake things up. I would try to keep everything copacetic, and as we broke down earlier, I think Dylan Brooks, the biggest headache would come from trying to have Dylan Brooks come off the bench. So I'm trying to avoid that. So I would just keep it simple. Go with those five guys. Thompson's been playing really well. But, hey, no problem with that coming off the bench. And as I said, look, you know, basketball coaches always said it's not who starts the game, it's who finishes the game. So Brooks might start, but he might not play more minutes than Thompson by the end of the game. So that'd be my starting five. Doesn't necessarily mean those be the five guys I would lean on the most, but that's how I would at least start the game.
Yeah, by the way, it is out. Fred is not going to go tonight.
Okay. Never mind.
He is out, so it looks like Aaron Holiday, who's been starting in his place, will probably be out there. I'm with you. If Fred is able to go, there's no question there. The question is those three. The Dylan Brooks, the Jabari Smith, who is returning from his broken hand injury where he's missed the last 22 games, and then Amen Thompson, who has ascended to being the number one player on the rise for this team, and you've started to see him turn the corner, it feels like. And I am with you, right? Like, one of the things for Udoka and about a coach is understanding, you know, what the pulse of your team is, how your team will react to things. And I think right now, Amen Thompson's game won't change for a negative at all if he comes off the bench.
I feel like Kobe.
Yeah, if he comes back in, hell, he may be a little bit more aggressive. Who knows? It may be, you know, hey, I'm with the second unit, let me get rolling. But I don't think his game will change, his attitude, his mindset will change at all. Hell, I don't think Jabari Smith Jr. would either. Jabari Smith said, you know, coming in, hell, I haven't played in so long, I just can't wait to get on the floor. I'm not as confident about that with Dylan Brooks, similar to what you said. And the thing that I comp it to is Brian Presley having a slide to the eighth inning with Hader coming in, and how that took him some time. And I don't know if Ryan ever got over that, but that took him some time to get over that. I think Dylan Brooks, there's a potential that may rub him the wrong way for a bit. And I think Amen Thompson, and there's also a basketball element of it. You could look at it and say, even Dylan maybe spreads the floor a little bit more than maybe Amen Thompson right now, and you can roll with it. So I'm totally with you on just the pulse of your team and understanding how the veteran Dylan Brooks will respond to that. And that's to me where I would be in the same space.
Yeah, Thompson is Alex Bregman, and Dylan Brooks is Rafael Devers right now with that whole fiasco.
And where is Tristan? He is tripped.
Yeah, who's the young loudmouth on the team? Yeah. And I don't know if it would change anything, but a huge thing in the NBA is the whole plus and minus for combinations, you know, how guys work together. So I would be curious to see what that looks like for certain duos or trios with this Rockets team so far this year, how certain guys have played together. But I think another part of this conversation is I think there's something to spreading out the talent or certainly the scoring ability and not necessarily having your starting five be your five best players or the five guys that bring most to the table, because to your point, when you get to that second unit, now Thompson's a guy that can provide some dynamics off the bench for you and also be going up against some of the other team's second units, and so you're still strong. It's like balancing out the depth of your starters and then that second unit off the bench, as opposed to if Dylan Brooks is leading the way off the bench, I don't feel as strong about my top two units than if Thompson is that 1B, if you will, the star of the second unit. I feel like I'm stretching my roster out a little bit better for the Rockets than vice versa.
The text line coming in, did Ron say Brian or Ryan Presley? I said Phil Presley. Jim Presley.
Easily to get that. It's easy to get confused. Phil, Brian, you know.
It's Ryan Presley. I said Ryan.
I know you did.
I'm just telling the guy. Come on.
Use your ear holes, friend.
Or don't. Just be yourself. By the way, we were talking about Anthony Edwards. That's who they play tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And he's come out and said he doesn't want to be the face. Do you think we're in a space where the face still has to be an American for the sport to be at its highest?
I do. And I think that's a cultural thing here in this country. But yeah, I don't think we've gotten to the point where we can break through. I think
because Luka going to the Lakers would make sense.
That's the one. Yeah, that's the one chance. I think LeBron would have to leave the Lakers so that Luka.
Yeah, he eventually will.
Right, like, he will. So at that point, maybe that becomes a conversation.
Like, and I know many people want to pretend that this kind of didn't happen, but we look at the LeBron years and how he's been as the face and how popular the game has been. Obviously, the ratings have dropped some here late in it, but most of his time, and the sport elevated when he got in there. Do you think a Wimby or a Luka, guys from out of the U.S., if they are the faces of the league, do you think that the league can rise to the level of the way it was when LeBron was the face, or the way it was when Kobe and Shaq were the faces?
I would like to think eventually, but today, like if you were to tell me, just hypothetically speaking, LeBron retires tomorrow, suddenly Luka and or Wemby become the face of the league, I don't think that works well currently right now for the NBA. Maybe a few years from now we're in that space.
Yeah.
We've talked a lot today about the whole load management, PK Subban's comments, all that sort of stuff. I do think part of the problem for the NBA when you talk about like ratings declining, this or that, last six MVPs are all international players. And it might sound bad to say it, but I think it's the reality that in this country, we prefer the stars to be in this country. We have that pride.
I think that's fair.
So I think that's part of the issue is that the best players in the league, a lot of them now are international players that you didn't grow up watching. You don't have that connection to. They're not an American player, and I think that is an issue with the NBA.
I will say, with Luka and Wimby, the language barrier is not going to be as much as it is usually with international players.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, Jokic. Like, when Luka and Wimby talk and speak, it like, you can tell that they're international, but it is much more... They've been speaking English a lot longer than Jokic or some other stars that are international. So I don't think the language... I've always said David Ortiz would have been a much bigger star than Derek Jeter if he was from Cleveland or Florida.
I could probably get behind that.
And the language barrier wasn't this. Hell, he's the star of the damn of their studio show.
It's true.
Right now. I think that is the case. All right. Tyler, let's win some money. Let's get T-Mills big and best bets going into the weekend. How was yesterday, by the way?
It was a profitable Thursday night. Yes.
All right.
Hit that 60% mark we're always aiming for. And if we want to get to that 60%.
LeBron saved you yesterday.
Man. I was on that Lakers money line before the Luka news, and that hit. So we had a good Thursday night. Two nights in a row. We need to build on it, because if we want to get to that 60% mark for the week, which we always aim for, going to have to go 4 for 5 or 5 for 5.
Oh boy.
On these Friday night best bets. So, without further ado, pens and pencils ready. I'm going to give them to you quick. As always, I got 5 of them. NBA, all around the league. First of all, the hometown team, Houston Rockets, over at Toyota Center. They are welcoming in the T-Wolves. I'm on their money line. I got it at 150. If you can get it anything below 160 or so, I'd take it. Next, I got the Sacramento Kings +2 as they host the Golden State Warriors. Then I got 2 unders for you. I got Pelicans at Mavericks under 237.5 tonight. And then the Detroit Pistons are traveling down to San Antonio to take on the Spurs. I'm on under 235 in that game. And then one player prop for you again tonight. Paolo Banchero, Orlando Magic, under 24.5 points for Banchero tonight. What do y'all think? What do you like? Is there any you hate?
The Banchero one I do like. What has happened to the Magic? They had such a...
They lost
a lot of injuries.
A fast start. He got hurt himself and missed some time. Thanks, Tyler. and he has been struggling here. And Chris Santiago, who's coming up after with the fellas on Area 45 after Texas All Access, he went to the well on Banchero two times to score over 21, and I was with him, and he couldn't get there. So I like
Sounds
the under.
Good me calling in, by the way, for Chris tonight.
All right. Only thing is, they're off a break. Maybe he's really got himself. We'll see. But Memphis is a good defensive team, so.
Need 4 or 5, man.
Luke, great job today, man. We appreciate you. Clint should be back on Monday, the whole gang as well. Luke, great job. Tyler, great job. I am Ron, the show as always, Houston. We love you, baby. And the world's all right with me.
Just one look at you. I watched Matlock last night.
The new one?
Not the old one.
That's probably worse.
You do have boomer tendencies sometimes with your television watching.
Kathy Bates has me in a stranglehold. This show is something else.
Hey, now, Kathy Bates, that's a bad bitch right there.
I don't know how long. Damn.
Okay. I'm serious. She is in everything.
But Kathy Bates.
Have a good weekend, good golf, good tennis, or whatever makes you happy.